Welcome to Running, Alaska Public Media's candidate forum here on KSKA 91.1 FM and 360 North. I'm Zechariah Hughes, city reporter here in Anchorage. Elections are on April 4th, just 1 week away, and with six of the 11 assembly seats on the ballot, the makeup of Anchorage's most important representative body could be dramatically reshaped. I'm talking with three of the four candidates vying to represent District 2's Seat C, the communities north of the Anchorage Bowl, including Eagle River, Chugiak, on up to Peters Creek. The seat's currently held by Bill Starr, but due to term limits, he's no longer eligible to run. So we have an open field. I'm joined here in the Alaska Public Media Studios by John Brazell, Fred Dyson, and Gretchen Wemhoff. A fourth candidate, Patrick Donnelly, declined our invitation to participate. We're going to jump into some questions about city politics, but first, each candidate will have a 30-second introductory remark. Mr. Brazell, starting with you.
Great. Thank you very much for having me. I look forward to this debate, and I look forward to the opportunity of serving the people of Eagle River and Chugiak in the Assembly. My background is I'm an Air Force veteran. I'm proud to have served in the 60th Medical Group in several deployments and the privilege of serving our country. I have a background in business management and in leadership and in healthcare. I also have an education that has graduate degrees in business management and in accounting. I have a family of six kids that I'm raising up in that area, and they absolutely love it. I love it. I want to leave a legacy for them. I want them to inherit something that can be prosperous and something that they can continue to develop.
Sir. Thank you. Mr. Dyson.
Thank you. Fred Dyson. I've lived in Eagle River since the middle 70s, raised three kids, way more than a dozen foster kids, mechanical engineer by trade and training, served our community on the community council, Chugiak State Park Board, road board, in a couple terms on the assembly, and then several years in the legislature, all of which was an honor, all of which were part-time. I'm very much an enthusiast for our community, and I think that we are facing difficult times in this city, and it needs some experienced, tough leadership.
All right. Thank you, sir. And Ms. Wemhoff.
Hi, Gretchen Wemhoff, and I've been in Anchorage since 1965 and went through the Anchorage school system. And I've lived in Chugiak since 1995, where I've been a teacher. I was a teacher at Chugiak High School for 21 years, been involved in the Girl Scouting program out there and in all sorts of organizations, and including being an alternate on the road board as well. I'm excited. This is a perfect time to serve, and I enjoy serving my community.
Okay. Thank you each. We'll move on to some questions from me, and starting with Mr. Brazell. I am curious to hear, you know, with state and federal funding retreating for the foreseeable future, what proposals do you have for funding the municipality? If it's cuts, please specify from where. If there's new revenue sources you have in mind, what are they?
Revenue sources is just a political term of people saying that they want to raise taxes. So I think that what we need to start, I'm a zero-based budget type of person. I like to look line by line and find out where we have unnecessary spending. Where can we make cuts? I think tax, when you start talking about property taxes and taxing our citizens, that's something that's a conversation way down the road. I don't think we've addressed the problem that we're seeing of spending or using our money wisely and being good stewards of that. I remember last year, Amy Dymbosky was on here, and she said that the muni doesn't have a revenue problem. And if we don't have a revenue problem, then that's great. Then we need to make sure that we tighten our belt and live within our means. And if we do have a spending problem, we need to make those cuts and then start from there.
Okay. Mr. Dyson, the same question to you.
Yeah. Raising revenue is going to be difficult because it would take a charter change. And indeed, we've got to figure out how to work smarter, provide the needed services with the revenues we have. And there are lots of ways to do that. Last year's budget, Mr. Starr and Ms. Dymbosky proposed 50 amendments to the budget process, and all of those were turned down. I've looked at those in detail, and they still make a lot of sense, but it's going to take courage to do that, and we as citizens have got to decide what are our priorities and stop doing things that are not key functions of government.
Okay. And Ms. Wemhoff, the same question to you.
Well, you know, we are in a situation where we're going to start losing the revenue, the revenue sharing from the state. And that makes it difficult everywhere from the school district to public safety. So for us to not think about other ways to increase or change our revenue structure is I don't think is practical. For instance, I think our property owners have taken a definite weight from the city. If you think about, you know, we think about, oh, they have to pay taxes. Well, these people pay $500 to $600 to $700 a month in taxes. That's huge. So what we have to think about is how can we relieve the burden on the property tax owners? And it may mean the T word. It may mean sales tax in some form or another.
Okay. Mr. Dyson, we'll move over to you for this next question. What's your definition of public safety? And what plans do you have to move the city more in that direction?
Yeah. So public safety is protection of people and property. And you got to remember that police are not good at crime prevention, except when putting people away where they can't do things. And it takes most of our low-level crime here is driven by drugs. And we're in a tough situation of not having much drug treatment. Last year, in the legislature, just failed in the last hour's effort that would have put $10 million more into the drug treatment in our state, and that's really sad. We'll support this mayor's wanting to put more police on, but we also have to back it up with judges, magistrates, and court personnel and prosecutors.
All right. Thank you, sir. Ms. Wemhoff, the same question on your definition of public safety and how to get us there.
Okay. Well, public safety is, as Mr. Dyson said, protection of property and being safe. You know, so obviously we have our fire departments and our ambulances, our paramedics, our rescue folks, and we have our police department. But I also believe that public safety means that we start at the very beginning as a community and as a society, looking at how do we teach our children in the first three grades so that they feel have great self-esteem, they feel good about themselves, so that they can make better choices as they get older, and what can we do with the drug issues, because that is drug and alcohol issues really push our crime. And if we could help solve some of that or help find a way to stop recidivism, then that we're going to be in good shape.
Okay. And Mr. Brazel, the same question to you.
Yes, and I agree with the answers that both Gretchen and Fred have given. You know, fire, police, EMS, those first responders, that's what you first of all think of when you talk about public safety. It is protection of property. It's also protection of life. And making sure that our kids are safe in the schools, making sure that our kids are safe when they're walking on the sidewalks, not having to worry about a huge epidemic that we're facing with the drug usage, the alcoholism that's prevalent in this community, and the crime rate that we're just seeing increase. And we definitely have to take a strong look at that and have a good conversation on how we understand public safety and making sure that that's something that our community is definitely engaged with.
And any specific proposals that you'd like to see pursued
for public safety? Oh, I would. I have a bunch. If we want to jump into the safety area and what we're looking at with crime, let's just put police aside because that's a different conversation on how many the number of police that we have. But how can we help them in certain areas? Well, we can help them in what I call it COP, COP. It's the Citizens Observation Patrol, where we have citizens that are invested in their community and they want to make a difference and they want to make sure that they're communicating with local law enforcement and being communicated to by local law enforcement of ways that they can help in their community. Looking at maybe there's a suspicious car that's been going on and communicating with police in that area. Another quick one, real quick, is getting in our homeowners associations, having law enforcement come in and do training so that we can be more vigilant and understand how to look for different things that would protect us from crime.
Excellent. We're going to switch gears just a bit. And Ms. Wemhoff, this next question will begin with you. What infrastructure or capital projects do you see as the most essential for the Assembly to pursue at this point?
Well, of course, I'm all about transportation and all about safe transportation. When we talk infrastructure, I think we have to remember we've got a port that is vital to the entire state, and we've had difficulties with it. We've gone over budget on it, but we still need the port, and it needs to be safe. So that's one that we need to continue working on. And the other is I really believe that we need to utilize our mass transportation better, in a better way, so that we can get people to work. Because again, people who work feel good about themselves. People that work can take care of themselves, and people who feel good about themselves make better choices.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Brazel.
Definitely. I would have to agree with Gretchen. The two that I had thought about was the port and with transportation. We look at what a wonderful way we could create an avenue of different revenue or different attractions in that port area if we were to build it and get it to where it needs to be. So that's something that I would like to talk further on. But let me jump real quick into transportation. Our transportation, especially out in the Eagle River Chugach area, is diminishing. I believe that we've sort of been swept to the side as far as what our needs are, and we definitely want to address that. I plan on addressing that. And some of that even includes not only with the bus line and other transits, but also with Uber.
Okay. And Mr. Dyson, capital and infrastructure projects you'd like to pursue?
Yeah. There are no huge infrastructure issues in our community. There are a couple of terrible intersections that are must be a highway planner's nightmare and so on that need to be fixed at some point. We do have a need, as both of my colleagues have said, for transportation for hire that works. Taxi cabs don't work for us. I think Uber, Lyft, and our market-driven ones that will work very well, and particularly for a large population of seniors and disabled people we have. And I like for people to make money solving social people problems.
Okay. We're going to take a break from my questions, and I'm going to hand the opportunity over to you to ask questions of one another. There'll be a short opportunity for a direct question, 45-second rebuttal from whomever you've asked it to, and then a rebuttal from you. So, Mr. Brazel, we'll start with you.
So one of the areas as a conservative that I have is I am right to work. I have not taken any union money, and nor would I. So one of the questions I would like to ask Fred is if he's taken any union money in support of his campaign, and then how will that affect if he wins this election and goes into a bargaining agreement?
Yeah, I believe I have. I think that the police union gave me a donation, and I have taken support from all kinds of people all over the years, never influenced my votes. I always tell them at the time, "You're going to make me your lapdog, and I'm not for sale." And that will not influence in any way my vote.
Okay. Mr. Brazel, a rebuttal from you.
I'm glad to hear that because it is conservative principles to make sure that we are fiscally responsible, that we're not representing both sides of the table, and that we do give that opportunity for a right-to-work type of state. So I just wanted to have Fred clarify that.
All right. Mr. Dyson, your question of an opponent.
Yeah. Gretchen, I've enjoyed getting to know you on this one, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I understood at our last conversation that you said that one difference you have with me is what you call social issues. I think I would call them human rights and civil rights. Planned Parenthood and the Guttmacher Institute say 95% of the abortions in America are for birth control. It's not therapeutic. That child is simply unwanted. And I think you said at one of our last meetings that the recent assembly action that allows boys who declare themselves girls to be in girls' locker rooms, on girls' sports teams, and so on. Are you in favor of abortion for birth control and forcing the public to pay for it? And are you in favor of boys who declare themselves to be girls to participate in girls' sports and shower rooms?
Okay, well, we'll start with the first part. I am definitely support women's rights to choose their decisions for their body, and I certainly don't think that anyone really likes abortion, but it needs to be a choice, and needs to be a choice between a woman and her doctor, and I will always support that, and I will always support health care for women. As far as transgender, I believe that when we've come to some new changes in our lives, and when someone identifies as a man or a woman, they need to be able to lead their life in the same way. And so that means, yes, I'm fine with them being in bathrooms. Most of the bathrooms these days have stalls.
Okay. Mr. Dyson, a rebuttal from you.
Yeah, well, the problem is, of course, I took high school biology, and a woman doesn't have two hearts and two brains, you know, there's a developing child there, and to treat that child as a property right that can be disposed of at the whim of the owner, if you will, harkens back to the slavery days. It's somebody you want to oppress, deny their humanity, and I think it's outrageous. And I don't think anybody should die because they're unwanted. And shower rooms and locker rooms are not just private stalls. And we had boys competing in girls' state championships in track here last year. I consider that to be outrageous.
That is the end of the time. And Ms. Wemhoff, your question of a challenger.
Well, no one can see this, but they're both anxious to know, who am I going to ask? You know, I think I will have to ask John this.
That would only be fair.
Okay, just to kind of rotate it through. John, I know that you have a great deal of faith, and you are also very much on the budget lines. But in this day and age of public schools and supporting public schools, how do you see the waiver system or the concept of choice schools where money is taken, given to parents from the public to go to private schools? What's your feeling on that?
Oh, I think it's very good. I do. I believe that you should have that choice. I know that my children have enjoyed going to Christian school. That was my option and my freedom to be able to do that, because I thought that was the best for their upbringing. When you talk, because this is really sort of even a national discussion, when you talk about underprivileged kids not having a chance to be in good learning facilities, that's not right. That's stunting the growth of our future. With our future leaders and with our future economic developers. So I am supportive of that.
Okay. Ms. Wemhoff.
Okay, so I'm just making sure you are in support of using public money for private schools. Is that what your answer was?
No.
Okay, so waivers would not be in it, but choice schools that are part of the public school system?
Yes, because I don't want the government coming into the private schools and being able to dictate what they're being taught in the curriculum. That's the reason why I want them into a Christian school, because we have where I stand, there's a huge philosophical difference on, I believe in creationism. I believe that there's a God who created us. I don't believe it was evolution, and I don't want my kids to be forced to learn that because that school's taking public money.
Okay.
Well, and in that situation, I actually support what you're saying, that you have made a choice, but you are also financially taking on that choice. So you're not expecting the government to do that, and you have chosen to put your children in Christian schools. And I'm okay with that, because that was my concept, is that I believe that we have so many choices in the Anchorage School District, but I do believe that if we keep our money towards the public schools, we'll be able to have better public schools.
Okay. Thank you. We are going to move back to questions from me in just a second. If you're just tuning in, this is Running, Alaska Public Media's candidate forum. We're talking with three of the people hoping to win the Eagle River seat on the Anchorage Assembly this upcoming April 4th election. So starting back with Mr. Brazel, we will switch over just a minute to a little bit of a more district-specific line of questioning. In your opinion, is your district adequately served by public transportation right now? And if not, then what improvements would you like to see?
Big no. And I think all three of us are going to chime in on this one, because we see it directly affecting our community. We see that the bus lines are, what are we down to, minimal services, and then even the proposed ones are not even going to reach out to Chugiak. And then the Band-Aid is, well, let's just give them two vans to go out there that's not even going to be able to meet our needs. So I believe that the Berkowitz administration really needs to take a hard look at what he's doing to our community. We represent over 10% of it. We have a lot of people who work in Anchorage that use that transportation. And by all means, let's decrease the cars on the Glen. If you've gone in there, going into work and coming home, it is bumper to bumper. And so if we can find ways that we can diminish even that from that perspective, but it is allowing access to our citizens out in Eagle River and Chugiak.
Okay. And Mr. Dyson, public transportation.
Yeah, we've already talked about that a bit. But indeed, we are in a very difficult budget situation. bus lines all over the city are heavily subsidized, and ours, because of the distance and so on, and the schedule, much more heavily subsidized. And we can't afford to subsidize public transportation to provide the service we need. That's why I'm very much in favor of a private sector solution, perhaps a combination of it, that I think can work, serve us, and pay its own way.
All right. Thank you, sir. Ms. Wemhoff.
Actually, yes, we all have talked about this. And the bus system, I have seen people in the neighborhood I live in Chugiak, where there were young people that tried to get a job. They got a job in Eagle River, but they worked in the restaurant business. They couldn't get a bus to Eagle River, so they would have to walk the 5 miles to Eagle River or get a ride. And if they didn't get a ride, they might lose their job. And so I always am saying that part of the infrastructure of a good community is helping people get around their community. And even if we did something within Chugiak Eagle River, because we're pretty resourceful people out there, we need to do something to help people get around. And we also know that the taxi cab services do not hang out to help us out. And so we don't have that out there. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Dyson, we'll go to you with this question. What issues facing residents in your district do you think the Assembly has inadequately addressed over the last few years? What's not being handled by the Assembly?
Yeah, we've had excellent representation, and I got to tell you, the seat that the three of us are running for is held by a giant. Bill Starr may be the smartest guy that's ever been there. He works very hard. He's incredibly straight, has no concept of political correctness, or doesn't care. And he and Amy have done a great job of looking out for us. Ours is not a high-need community. The one thing that is a significant issue for us is the upsurge in crime in this starting in 2015. And the police force is very spread very thin. I like some of John's ideas of how we citizens can help. But that is the primary issue that is concerning our folks.
Okay. And Ms. Wemhoff.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. As the new police officers come onto the force, we aren't sure that we're getting as many as we should have out there for 10. You know, are we getting 10%? And if they need to help out, it's still 10 miles from Muldoon to get help. So we do have to look at that. I do know that currently the police department is working really hard to manage the shifts so there's overlaps during certain times. I think crime is hitting us, but it's also, you know, male crime. We're having a rough time, but South Anchorage is having that too. So again, I'm going to go back to, we have two issues. Our transportation, we're being left out on that one. And we also seem to constantly need to protect our Chapter 1 of Title 21. Okay. Chapter 10, excuse me, of Title 21.
Good correction. Good catch. And Mr. Brazel, the same question to you. What's not being addressed by the Assembly in Eagle River Chugiak?
Sure. And real quickly, I would have to address that. You know, I would love to have Uber out in Eagle River. I think that that's something that needs to be addressed. But it's crime. I've gone door to door, and as I knock on each door, that seems to be the most common question to me is, how are you guys going to address the crime that's going on? We do have a couple of issues that we've talked about that will help. But we really need to make sure that we can get a police officer to a house faster than it would take for us to order pizza and have it delivered. And we definitely need to talk about that further and to strategize ways to make sure that we're protected adequately.
Okay. And last question for each of you. It's a little bit of a short one. We'll start with you, Mr. Brazel. But your take on the ballot propositions that are going to go before voters, which are you in favor of and which are you against?
All right. You must be referring to the bonds. The bond measures.
The bonds, the taxi ordinance, the sort of nefarious in there, Proposition
7. Well, I got 45 seconds to answer a whole bunch, so I'll just attach this one unless you want to come back to me for a further question. I'm not in favor of the current bond that is bundled together. The way that I look at bonds is the way I look at people when they run their household is how much you're going to put on a credit card and keep spending on a credit card. Long-term projects, yes, you know, there's considerations on that in the bond. Short-term maintenance, no. So I think that what we end up doing is we carry on when we pass these bond measures. Someone's got a 30-year mortgage. They're looking at, oh, well, that's only $2.41 per $100,000. But you start adding that up per year, now you're up to $600 that you're on the hook for.
Okay. And Mr. Dyson, the ballot propositions.
Yeah. No, there's no money in any of the bond issues for anything in Chugach Eagle River, Peters Creek. I'm an engineer, and I can tell you that one thing you got to do to protect a facility is protect the foundation and the roof, you know, and I'll always support roof repairs. Mm-hmm. The city or the school district has a very significant excess in buildings and unoccupied space, and there's got to be some hard decisions made about that. And I'm not up to speed on the taxicab one thing.
And so you are a no on the bonding for the school bond set?
Yes.
Okay. And Ms. Wemhoff?
Well, you know, being the optimist, I am always in favor of the school district bonds when they're trying to work maintenance out, because we have a lot of buildings, and if we don't maintain them, it's going to cost us more down the line. So I know that they have to choose between over, you know, 90 to 100 buildings to really find out what's going on. And so I, having seen their presentation, I'm in favor of the school bonds. I am not in favor of the repeal, mostly because I think the assembly has done a good job trying to work with the taxicab business and help come to an agreement, because we have a real monster that they're trying to dissolve and help and make everyone work well with it. So that's kind of where I am.
Thank you all. We have time for a closing statement, so Mr. Brazel, we'll start with you.
Great. It is a pleasure to run with Gretchen and Fred. They are first and foremost geared to represent their community, and they have and our community at their best heart and in the best interest. I would ask that you would consider voting for me. I bring a fiscal responsibility background, leadership, management, the education to back that up. I feel like that I don't want to just do this for one term. I want to do this as long as the voters would allow me to continue to serve in the assembly so that I can continue on and make an impactful meaning to that.
Okay. Mr. Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. I have never really sought out being in public policy positions. It was folks asked me to serve. I've been honored and privileged to do that. It just the luck of the draw, if you will. The experience I've had both in public policy issues and in professional life give me a lot of understanding of the issues that are facing the city. And I think the city's issues are profound. And I have a lot more experience than my delightful colleagues, but it prepares me to, I think, to do an excellent job, or at least a good one.
Thank you, sir. And Ms. Wemhoff, your closing remarks.
Well, thank you. And yes, it has been a nice race. It's been good that it's been a fair and civil race, and I've enjoyed getting to know my opponents, so that's been good. I am excited about this opportunity, and I have a great deal of support that I'm just humbled with the support I'm getting. I need to also say that I care about the people, and I care about the worker, which means that I care about collective bargaining, and I care about making sure that we pay our workers enough money that they can live, and I care about people having health care. So I am excited to run for this office. I do believe that I am the person that we should vote for.
Okay. Thank you. That concludes the first half of our forum with candidates hoping to represent the Eagle River Chugach part of Anchorage on the Assembly. We've heard from John Brazel, Gretchen Wemhoff, and Fred Dyson. A fourth candidate declined the opportunity to come on. Next, we'll be hearing from candidates running to take over outgoing Assembly Chair L.V. Gray Jackson's seat representing the Midtown District. Municipal elections are on April 4th, although early voting is open right now. Stay with us.